Good morning, everyone. It's Joe Varnador. Welcome to the Thursday, May 19th performing loan call. It's a little different for me this morning because it is morning. I'm on the West Coast, and normally I'm doing it from home, so it's typically 1 o'clock, but it's 10 o'clock, so yeah, it's kind of early out here for you guys. So anyway, we have Mr. Kevin Moore on the line here today. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. When I refer to you at the preview and at the full day, I call you and Kevin Shortell the Kevins. I said, so one of the Kevins is going to teach you how to do this. So,
good setup. I like it.
Yep. So, and then we have, of course, Mr. Matt Edwards in the back and on the there running the board. So, hope everybody is doing well. Don't have any a lot of content this morning, so what I want to do is I want to do some open mic stuff. We'll do some Q&A, and we'll kind of run through. I wanted to pick out a I picked out an asset. It's a note that someone had sent me on a seller finance note that they wanted to sell. So I think we'll pull it up in just a second. And we'll go through that as far as how would we price it if we were buying it. And then let's see if it's one of those that we could buy and then sell a partial on it and get some of our money back. And, of course, I'm telling you, this is totally unscripted. So we'll just see how it falls here. So let's see. Matt, why don't you turn the screen over to me.
And you got all the appropriate stuff off your screen, right?
What? Yeah,
you got
I did.
Stuff
off your screen, right? Oh, don't be so funny, funny man. Oh, okay. So this is a little seller finance note. It's not a little note. It's got about $100,000 balance, but it's in Webster Groves, Missouri. Estimated value is $125,000 to $130,000. Property about a quarter of an acre lot, something like that. One bedroom, one bath, single family, 847 square feet. So it's a small house, but apparently it's got a good value on it. So let's see here. Of course, and this is for those of you that are sending out mailers and that type of thing. This is the type of thing that you're going to see versus looking at a colonial tape on performing loans. Typically, you're going to make your buy decision on what they've sent you here. So this would have been a guy that has sold me a few notes over the years. And he created this one, or he found this one himself, so he sent this to me, this mortgage information questionnaire, and, you know, trying to get a price on it so that we can do some, see if we can do some business here. So let's run through it. Credit score is fair, so that means it's probably less than fair, but that's okay because this has got a lot of seasoning. So the date of sale was June of 2011. Sale price was $114,000, and let me run through something here real quick. So for those of you that have seen me do a one day full day class, when I talk about seller financing, I typically tell a story about a deal that somebody sent me about a year ago, Temecula, California, and so Kevin, you'll kind of get a kick out of this. Me having a big background in seller finance notes where it's I'm selling my house to Kevin and he's just going to pay me, there's not been a lot of, well, typically they don't know what they're doing when they do it and they do some silly things. So I always tell the story that I had a guy call me, like I said, he was from Temecula, California. And he says, hey, Joe, do you remember me? And I said, gosh, I don't. What's your name? Where are you from? And he said, well, I'm from Temecula, California. I don't remember his name. And he says, I have another note I want to sell. You bought a note from me in 1999. So I go, wow, you saved my number, and I still have the same number. So anyway, we talk a few minutes, and so he says it's a three-bedroom, two-bath house in Temecula, and he, I said, so okay, so let's do a little pre-questioning here as I kind of get the price on this for you or kind of get some information from you. I said, how did you arrive at the sales price of your house? And he goes, well, I talked to a local realtor. The local realtor said it was worth $185. So I sold it for $165. So, you know, Kevin, that's kind of apropos, right? I mean, it's worth $185, but I'm going to sell or finance it for you, and I'm going to give you a $20,000 discount, right?
I'll take it.
Again, no rhyme or reason, right? So I said, okay, why did you do that? Why did you sell it at a $20,000 discount when you're selling the house, you know, and seller financing? And he says, well, and it was always this, well, you know, Joe, it needed a little bit of work done on it, so I wanted to, you know, give him a break on it so he could do the work. And I said, okay. I said, how much work did it need to do, need to have done on it? And he said, well, it was probably about $10,000. And I said, so then why did you give him a $20,000 discount off of what it's worth versus a $10,000 discount? Is, well, you know, Joe, I just wanted to be fair. So, and Kevin, you know, I know you haven't dealt with this type of, you know, note very often, but this is what, you know, we always see in you know, just seller to seller note financing. So I said, okay, good. So tell me this. How's the buyer's credit? And he says, well, you know, Joe, he has a bankrupt, or he had a foreclosure last year, and I know he had bad credit, so I just didn't check his credit. I said, okay. I said, but you do have his social. He goes, yeah, I do have his social. I said, so it's got about 12 months of seasoning. He goes, yeah, about 12 months of seasoning. I said, so let's recap here real quick. So you sold it for $165, but it was worth $185. You could have sold it for $175, and it would have still been a great deal for the bar. He said, that's right. And I said, okay, and one other thing here. So the other thing is that he has bad credit, and that's okay with you as well. He goes, yeah, that's fine. I said, okay, let's carry on. So at this point, I knew every answer to every question that I was going to ask was not going to be great, okay? So the next question was, so, you know, how did you, what kind of down payment did you get on this loan? And it was again, well, you know, Joe, it was, I didn't get a down payment. I sold it for zero down. I said, okay, let's recap real quick. So you've got a house that's worth $185. You sell it for $165. Bad credit. So tell me why you did that. Why did you sell it with no money down? Well, you know, Joe, he was going to do that work on it. And I said, well, how's that working out? Is he doing the work on it that he promised he was going to do? And he says, well, I think he's redone one bathroom. I said, so he spent a couple of $1,000. So I said, okay, well, let's carry on then. So what kind of interest rate did you use? Well, I did 3%, Joe. Wow, Kevin, this is a great deal so far, right? This is like a subprime Alt-A loan, buddy. So I said, so why in the world would you do? Well, I just wanted to do 3%. I said, well, you know, this kind of loan would really probably be a 9 or 10% loan. Well, okay. And then, of course, I asked him, what was the term? And, of course, it was 360 months. So I told him, I said, look, I said, let's recap one more time. You sold it for less than value. You didn't check his credit because he had bad credit. You did it at 3% with no money down for 30 years. He said, that about sums it up. And I said, well, let me just ask one more question of you then. He goes, okay. I said, is he paying you? And, of course, the answer to is he paying you was, well, you know, Joe, he's been making about a half a payment every other month. I said, okay. I said, well, listen, I said, let me go ahead and give you a price on that real quick. I'm not even going to negotiate with you or do any of that. I said, I'll give you $40,000 for this 162 or 3 balance. And he goes, well, Joe, you know I can't do that. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. I said, but let me tell you something, dude. When you get sick and tired of this and you decide to foreclose on this and you take it back, what I want you to do is to call me and we'll talk through how to do a little better looking loan. And he goes, okay, well, I'll do that. Now, of course, anybody on this phone, we all know that how to create a better note than that, right? Well, now if we did it, we'd have to get an RMLO involved, and we would have to do all of those things that that would make it a good loan, you know, including checking the credit and verifying the debt-to-income ratio, and we would get a down payment, and we would do it at a better interest rate. So this is kind of one of those deals. So it was sold in 2011, $114,000, 360-month AM, monthly payment of $647.28, interest rate is 5.5. First payment was due June of 2011. They've made about 60 payments, and there's 300 remaining. It is not third-party service, but he does have a very good pay history on this, and it looks good. So the current loan balance is about 105, and so that gives them a little bit of equity in the property. If it's worth 125, they've got about $20,000 in equity. So you see his comment here, no down payment explanation, note holder inherited the house from the mother, was in the process of fixing the house and making renovations when decided to sell. In lieu of down payment, he and the buyer agreed that the buyer would make the renovations needed. So it's been 5 years, and the buyer did perform and made the renovations. So, Kevin, what do you think of that note so far?
I like it because I've got a motivated buyer, and he's done what he's supposed to do.
That's right, and it's got a, you know, it doesn't have, like I say, a third-party pay history, but I've seen the pay history, and it is, the guy does keep really good records. Okay, so let's kind of look at then how this would pan out. So what would this be worth if we were to buy the whole thing at a fair price? So, Kevin, what are you thinking? Should we should at least get a 12? Should we get a little more than a 12 return on this?
Yeah, well, I'm in a 12-ish kind of mood today.
12-ish kind of mood. So you can see that if we bought the entire note at a 12% return, our ITV is going to be pretty good because, well, it's going to be 50 based on the current value of the property. And it's also, but it's a big haircut, right? That's about $44,000 in a haircut, right? So that's a pretty big hit. So obviously, in my eyes, I know in your eyes, Kevin, it would probably be better. I can throw this full purchase quote out there for the guy, but I'm going to need to back it up with a couple of partials just to kind of make it worthwhile. But if we did, if he were to sell this to us at $61,547, and he may, I mean, I haven't called him back, I haven't done all that, I've been traveling, so I'm going to call him tomorrow, but he was pretty motivated. So it just depends, right? So if we were going to do that, let me do this. I would offer him this, and then what I would do is I would offer him, let's see, what does 100 payments look like? And I'm going to bump my return up simply because it's a partial. So we could either do a $61,000 full, or we could do a 100 payment partial at $36,661. Well, based on that, we're buying a third of the remaining payments. We're giving them we're giving them a little more than a third of the balance. Does that make sense, Kevin? So what I'm saying to him is, say, look, there's 300 payments left. I'll give you $36,831 for 100 of the payments. And that ends up being $369, and so about $106,000, and the balance was about $105,000. So I can make, hold on, guys. Okay, so that'll make it a pretty decent quote there. Sorry, that phone's going off all over the place here. So any questions? Let's see. Any questions on that so far? Let's see. Okay, we're going to come back to that one. We got a couple of questions there. Any questions on what we've done here so far? Anybody? If you do, either raise your hand or type in your question. So let's then kind of go back and say, okay, and we could play with this all day long. We could go to 120 payments. We could plug that in. Let's go back. Here, go to 120 payments. Okay, and I screwed my spreadsheet up here. Okay, so I'm going to go back and I'm going to re-enter this stuff here real quick. Give me a second. So Kevin, talk to me. What are you thinking on that?
So at this point, if this guy, I would throw a partial number at him just to see how much money he needs, because right. by throwing the partial at him, it gets him interested, and then it also lets him, in theory, think he's got more control over the process.
Right, exactly. And we're going to explain, we're going to go through the entire entire process of doing that. Let me change my numbers back in here. And again, he's looking at this, and what he's selling here is a lot of the juice. It's going to be a lot of the, it's a lot of the interest, so it wouldn't be a big deal. So let me go here and put this back in. But again, typically, guys, this is what we're going to see when we see a seller finance note. I mean, this is totally realistic. I mean, this is kind of the way people do it. They have an idea that they want to do it like this when they sell it, and it seems like a good idea at the time, and then maybe later on down the road they realized it wasn't such a great idea, and then they start having a little bit of regrets because they're going to get $647 a month for a long time, and it doesn't it starts to sink in as to what was going on with this. So I'm almost there. 300 and I think the balance was 105,405. Okay, 405. All right. So let's go over here.
Are you, your numbers are wrong there? Didn't you have 105 and then 104?
Okay. Well, I was just making sure everybody was paying attention. Oh.
One of us was.
It was this. That's right. It was this late night talk I gave here in Sacramento last night, and I see Mickey's on the phone this morning. So good morning, Mickey. Okay. So where was I? So why don't we do this? Let's go back and say, okay, we're going to buy all the remaining payments. We're going to buy them at a 12% return. So what we've got is we've got $61,430. So let's just say that. Okay, he's going to buy on this, or he's going to go, okay, we'll take this price, we'll kind of go through the process. So we're going to buy it for $61,430. And for those of you that are on the phone, you know, I've done 10,000 deals like this over the last 25 years, and you could say, you know what, and if one of you sent this note to me, and or sent it to Colonial, and this is how it would be priced, just exactly the way you see it. And it's like Eddie always said, I didn't bake the pie, right? I mean, I'm dealing with what is created. So I can't change any of the terms. All I can do is offer you the price that it's worth, and this is what anybody would give you for this loan. So it is what it is, but I can promise you, Kevin, that most people, since it's a $44,000 discount, would probably not even call the borrower or the note seller back.
Safe bet.
Yeah, because they're going to be afraid that, oh my God, this guy's going to cuss me out. He's going to call me every name in the book and all of that. And, you know, realistically, that's what anybody else that would buy it would look at that kind of situation as well. They would go, oh my God, I can't call and offer this guy. So that's why you're going to ease him into it. When you call him back, and Eddie talks about that, there's a bunch of mini lessons on that. But it's presenting that price, and you're going to present the full, you're going to present a couple of partials. And I'll tell you that 90% of the time, even though the note seller likes the partial, likes the idea of it, but the mindset is that I just want to get rid of it all. Okay? So about 90% of the time, if that's somewhere in the neighborhood of what they need, and I know before I would give them the price, we're going to go through how to value this, and you know what are the seven pillars of a great note and that type of thing, and we know that they're the credit of the borrower, the value of the collateral, the pay history, the paperwork, and all of those different things that go into the value. So what we've got on this is we've got a 5-year solid pay history. And you know, Kevin, one of the other things that we would do when we presented this quote, especially when it's something like this, one of the things that I would say to him is say, look, when you sold this, you created this, obviously it was a zero money down deal, so you should have gotten a little higher interest rate. Don't you agree with that? And they would say, yes, well, I probably should have, because really, I mean, this is a zero money down deal, so you should have gotten at least 7 or 8%. And that would have certainly bumped this quote up probably another $10,000 to $15,000. Well, you could see. Well, I'm not going to go back through all of that. So we've got that. And then what if he would have done it at a 240-month AM? This was clearly prior to Dodd-Frank and the SAFE Act. So we could have, you know, easily put done a shorter period of time, but we would still want to make sure they could afford the payment. And then, Kevin, really the third thing we could have done is we could have done it done a 360-month AM, but we could have put a balloon in it. So at this point, at this five-year mark, we could have put a 60-month balloon in it, and this borrower would go out and he would have to refinance it in order to keep it. And by doing that, the note seller would get, you know, 100 cents on the dollar. He would get $105,000, which is what the payoff is right now. So if it would have been, like I said, created a little bit more creatively, then obviously it would have been worth a lot more. So one of the things that I would say, I'd say, look, what you've received there, Mr. John, is that you've received 60 payments of $647 a month, which means you've received $38,820 in the last 5 years. Now, you sold this house for $114,000, so the borrower has paid, out of that $38,000 in payments that you've received, that principal and interest payment, the borrower's only paid about $9,000 off in principal. So out of that $38,822, almost $30,000 of that, or right at $30,000 of that, was nothing but interest. So you've received $38,820 in monthly payments, plus the $61,430 that I'm offering you. So that's right. You're really receiving right about what the balance is on the loan if you averaged it out over that 60-month period. How does that sound, Kevin?
It's starting to make sense to me.
Okay. So, and that's one of the ways, guys, when you're looking, and I know a lot of you are sending out mailers for this kind of deal, for people that have sold their house, they've owner financed it, and this is what they're going to look like when you see these. And as you kind of sit down, I always add up the cash flow. So, okay, Mr. Jones, you sold your house for $100,000 4 years ago. You received a $10,000 down payment, so that's $10,000. Over the last 4 years, you've received $40,000 in payments. And so that's about $8,000 of that was principal reduction, and the other $32,000 of it was interest. So you've received $40,000 worth of payments over the last 4 years. And you can just kind of add the cash, and if we give you $61,000 for it, you're actually coming out a little better than even on that. So we've got to show them the cash flow, because all they can focus on right now is what's the unpaid balance and what is the what are you paying me for that. So we've really got to go out there and we've got to teach them, we've got to give them a little mini lesson on that. And if you were doing a partial, you would do the same thing. You would say, okay, look, guys, here's what it is. So we're going to do, you've received $10,000 down, you've received 40 payments of $500 a month, so that's $20,000. I'm going to buy the next 60 payments from you for $30,000, and then you're going to have 260 payments left on the back end times whatever the monthly payment is. So this is your benefit on this note over the period of time. So again, all we can do is point out the obvious to them when there's this kind of a discount when we're dealing with seller held notes. So let's do this. So if let's just say that I call the guy and he's going to say, okay, Joe, you know what? I know the partials sound really good, But I just want to do, if I'm going to sell it, I'm going to sell it all. And I've heard that thousands of times when the partial would have been the better play for them, but they've just got it in their mind. They're done with it. I want to move on. And you don't know. I mean, you could, this guy may have paid $20,000 for this house 5 or 6 or 7 years ago and did basically nothing to it. And, well, he inherited it from his mother. So if he gets $61,000 out of it, plus he's gotten $38,000 in payments over the last 5 years, I can promise you that if we can reason this out in his mind, he's going to do the full. He just wants a lump sum of cash. Okay. So if I bought it, and this would be my buy price, $61,430. Now, if I wanted to start looking at, okay, what could we sell off a piece or two of this, or what would we have to sell in order to get our money back? So let's just say that we do 100 payments, and we offer an investor an 8% return. Looks like we would have a pay price of about, we would sell 100 payments and an 8% return to an investor, about $47,000. So maybe that doesn't get us to where we want to be. So let's sell. We've got somebody that they have an IRA. They don't want to have to deal with redoing it, buying 5-year partial. They want to buy a longer term partial. So now at 140 payments, we're at about $58,000. So we're almost to our $61,000 price. So let's see, if we do 175 payments here at the same 8. So what we've done then is we could sell 175 payments, and we paid $61,000 and some change for the loan, and we could sell 175 payment partial for $66,000. So we could put about $5,000 in our pocket, and then that would leave, 125 payments on the back end of that for us, and we would have less than nothing in it, is what I'm trying to say. So, Kevin, does that make sense?
Yeah, because I'm making money up front, and then I'm holding on to the back end of the note.
I know, and that's what I hear from a lot of our students when I was talking with Kenny and Mickey last night. That's what they were, that type of deal. Now, obviously, we've got to sell a lot of payments, but I would say that, well, this has gone on 5 years, but the likelihood of this going to term, Kevin, is what? Probably 20% that it'll actually go to term, that this guy will keep this house for another 300 months.
Yeah, I'd say 20 to 30% tops.
Yeah, me too. That's kind of what I would look at it as. And I would just, so we know that probably within the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, whatever it is, that we're most likely, this loan is going to get paid out, and we're going to get our big lump sum, and we've got less than nothing in it as well. And we could, if we wanted to, take one more step here. We could look at what the entitlement would be if we did that particular deal on this. So let's just look here. What is that? That's a 60 payment entitlement. Let me move this over. Is that more than that? I've got to move some things around here on the screen so I can see it. So here's payment 1 through payment. Payment 175. So I'd have to do this. Okay, for some reason it's not reading that correctly. But if we looked at the entitlement schedule, we could figure out what that looks like over a period of time and what that payoff would be if it were to come through. Hold on, let me get that back up there. Okay. All right, so do we have any questions on this, guys? What does it look like, Matt? Do we have any questions there?
Most of our questions are actually on other deals and other questions.
Okay, why don't we do this then? So why don't we let's unmute Lisa. Hankinson, and let's talk to her. She says she's got a real live deal right now that she's creating a partial on. So let's kind of look at that. But while we're doing that, let's answer some of these other questions as we go through here. All right, so you took care of Bill, didn't you, Matt?
I did, yes.
Stu says, we're working on putting together an email drip campaign from the Capital Playbook. In the sixth email, it's asking for an example of a worked-out loan. Is there anywhere on the site that there's one that we could use or where I can find one now? Kevin, I know you've been going through that website a bit, or through the website a bit. I'm sure there is, Stu. That would probably be a Zarina question, so because she's put a lot of that together, so I'm not trying to put you off. I just can't put my finger on it right now. So just shoot an email to Zarina and ask her where that is on top of that. So let's do that, and then we'll kind of go from there. So, Dave, what's that? What, Matt?
A better email to send that would be to send that out to help desk.
Okay.
And that way, if Zarina doesn't get it right away, other people will have eyes on it and be able to help if they know of one before she gets to it. So help desk would be the best option to send that to.
Okay. So Dave, Nikki says, a developer call regarding a tiny house home project in Arizona. Yeah, I've watched that show. Approved like a mobile home park. He is building stick-built houses and selling for $80,000, wants to do sell or carry and sell the paper. He will be getting 20% down, interest of 8%, sell the paper after 3 months, will have up to 200 units. How would you, or rather, would you chase this opportunity? Is this better for a Monday night call or not? You know, it's a little more, we could probably, you know, run through that with Eddie on a Monday night. But, Kevin, what do you think? What do you think about something like this? If Dave, you know, what I would say would be the play with this is for a local investor there in the Phoenix market, that he could certainly probably do that. This would be better for a hometown investor, probably, based on the type of paper this is and the number of units. I'll tell you that most national funding sources would get a little bit antsy if they were to buy over, you know, 10 or 15 of these, because what happens is you've got a concentration issue, and it's like any lender would go and say, look, I don't want to be that exposed in one small area to these types of loans if it didn't make it, if something happened to the deal or something like that. So, Dave, I think the play on this, again, would be selling these off to local investors. What do you think, Kevin?
Yeah, Joe, you're exactly right. I mean, when I worked for the fund, we never wanted to be more than 20% in terms of exposure on a development project like this. Right. And then my second question is going to be, what is the builder developer's reason for doing seller financing on these? Because I got to find out, you know, what's the hair on the dog on this? It's not that I'm saying it's not a good deal. It's a very, very intriguing deal. But you got to find out why this is a large scale development, and right now, given the credit market, there are local banks and national construction lenders that would lend on something like this, and especially in the AZ market. So Dave, I'd want to know why he thinks seller finance is a good way for him to make this thing work.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, the play on this, especially at the higher interest rate with, what was it, 10% down?
20% down, I think 8% interest, I think what they said.
Yeah, I mean, if it was, I think that would be bankable all day long. And that's one of the plays. I'd see what that would be as well. And, of course, you know, since these are not, if these weren't homesteads, the people weren't going to live in them. Hold on. Excuse me. They wouldn't be subject to the SAFE Act, because there would be more of an investment property than it would be a homestead. So it wouldn't have to worry with that. But I would sure go in and ask some of those questions as to what why they're doing that and why they would be willing to sell them at a discount versus unless he just doesn't understand the discount part of that. Now, I'm sure Dave, as experienced as you are at this point, you would have already talked to him about some pricing and a discount, something like that. So I'm sure this wouldn't be a play for somebody like Colonial or Armstrong or somebody like that, but it would have to be a local investor thing. And you know, you've got a lot of money chasing, looking for a return in the Phoenix area. So if you could get in between some of that, there would be some money in there for you. But again, it wouldn't be a play to sell them to do that. And I would, Dave, talk to them about partials as well. I did a deal similar to this years ago on a mobile home development where the guy really didn't want to sell the entire loan. And what I showed him, well, he didn't after I showed him what the partial could do for them. So what we did is we looked at, I think maybe if the sale price was $50,000, they actually had about $20,000 to $25,000 in the dirt and in the house that was on the dirt, or the mobile home that was on the dirt. So we figured that by the time they got the down payment, how many payments would we have to buy in order to get him his money back and a little to boot, and then they would have those loans, or he would have those loans come back to him after a 5-year period, and we showed him that. That kind of opened their eyes, and they go, wow, that's really cool, because we can get our money back, we can get a little extra, and in the end of 5 years, we'll have 100 payments of whatever it is, of $500 a month coming in, and you know, 500 here and 500 there times 100, that becomes a lot of money. So I've done that before as well, and that could be something that you could work out with them also. And I think you'd have a lot of folks out there in that area that would want to do something like that. But I don't think it would be a play for a national investor. So, but I would certainly find out what his motivation is and kind of talk to him about that. Anything to add, Kev?
Yeah, no, Dave, this, from first pass, it looks like something that definitely bears a second level of due diligence. And one of the things, and Joe, you touched on it briefly, would be, okay, Mr. Builder Developer, talk to me about how you're funding basically all the infrastructure, all the improvements, and then what's your absorption rate? So if you're going to put 200 units in there, how long do you think it's going to take you to do it? And then, you know, have you got a construction lender lined up here too? So now this is a fun deal. Hopefully Dave can get some answers, and let's get this on a Monday night call and run through it. And
absolutely. And that's, yeah. And you know, when you're in to develop it's not cheap for all of that underground, for all of the, you know, you're going to do underground utilities, you're going to do probably, you know, the power, you're going to do the, you know, all the services, power, water, sewer. You're going
he's
to
got,
have
he's got five, he'll have 5 million in it.
Oh yeah.
5 million in it minimum.
Yeah, by the time you've got to put in roads with curb and gutter, you've got to have some retention on the property as well. So I mean it's not cheap to do something like this, right? For sure.
Yeah, figure bare bones, he's gonna be $20,000 per mailbox. To get that to work, my guess he's probably closer to AZ. It's a lot of dirt. My guess is he's probably, if he can scale it, he's probably a 25 to 27.5 per mailbox.
Yep, you're probably right. It's true. Very good. Okay, so let's see. Claudia says, if you add a balloon to it, isn't the changing of the terms for the buyer? No, and Claudia, I was just saying that on that particular deal that we would, if he would have created this differently when he created that particular loan. So if he would have done a 360-month AM but did a 5-year balloon, but he would have had to have done that when he sold it to this gentleman. So again, why didn't he do something like that? He probably just didn't know. You know, he probably did the math and said, okay, 360 times 647, well, that's a lot of money, right? So on the little deal. So, but he didn't think that, okay, but I've got to wait 30 years to get $647 a month. And he never felt the impact of the money since he, you know, he got nothing down. So this guy's received 60 payments, and he's going, oh, my God, there's 300 more payments of $600 a month. I just want a lump sum of cash to do something else. So, again, anytime you're talking with a person and selling a seller finance note like this, a note owner, you know, it's better you can point those out and say, look, this is really the way this should have been created when you did this. Now, listen, I'm just telling you this so that you'll, if you do this in the future, you'll know a little more about it. And what you're doing is you've stepped in more of a consultative role on this than a note buyer role. You're saying, look, this is the way you should have created it. And if you had of, this is what would have happened. Now, I know that that's water under the bridge, but certainly if you ever were to do this again, this is what you would do. And you've got to take them through the process. You've got to explain to them that, you know, this is really, it's just an issue of how you created it. This is what it's worth. This is what an investor is looking for. And based on that and the time value of money, this is what it's worth. And I would certainly if he's a real seller and he has a real need for the money, he's not going to do a partial. He's going to sell it all. He just wants what he can get, and he's going to move out of it. And we know that too, that we have enough information there to know that he inherited this property, so his benefit on it has been pretty good. So anyway, let's see. And I don't know if you see that, Kevin, but Dave said it was done on a land lease. So they're doing.
That's okay. I can't see any of the notes, but have Dave send us an email, because that right there, if it's a land lease, that might be the hitch in the giddy up.
And then of course one of the big note buyers out there is Fnac, and they're not interested in doing it, especially with the land lease situation.
And Jody, take 30 seconds and explain to people what the challenge with the land lease is, or do you want me to?
Yeah, just go ahead and do it, Kevin. I'm talking.
Okay. So the issue with the land lease is if the land lease is not longer than the terms of the mortgage, so the amortization, then basically you have an unfinanceable project. And with the banks and then also with national lenders like FINAC and stuff, they're going to have a margin of error where if the land lease is, say, 30 years, then they're only going to let you have, like, 20 or 25-year financing on this. So Dave, there's an opportunity there still because of land lease, but we'd have to drill down on this for you.
Yeah. And you know, and what that really means is that they're paying $80,000 for the tiny house. They're not getting the land with it.
Correct. Right. It's they're not getting a fee simple. This is lease held. It's leasehold property.
Right. And just kind of some interesting trivia. Most of the more valuable property in Hawaii is done that way as well. You get a 30-year land lease. If you've got a 30-year loan, you're going to get a 30-year land lease. And so you're not only going to pay, you're going to pay your monthly land lease payment to King Kamehameha or whomever it is, and you're going to pay your mortgage payment on your house. So interesting concept, but somebody could build a house and somebody could get a loan to build a house, but they just don't own the land that the house is sitting under. So, all right, so, okay, good. So I think we've got that, not getting traditional financing. Wasn't the purpose of tiny houses, Bob Bollinger says, to have no mortgage for the home? Yeah, gotcha. I agree. The whole tiny house thing was to kind of get everybody out from under having a big long-term loan. Okay, so Claudia, I see where you say that makes sense. And Dave said he owns the ground, but leasing the ground to the homeowners. And that's exactly what we were talking about, with a monthly land lease of $350 a month. So you'd have to see what kind of term that... obviously, he was going to do a 30-year loan on this. When he seller finances these out, he's going to have to do a 30-year land lease with these folks, and then you would have to look at the land lease again, Kevin, to see if he's doing a 10-year loan, with a monthly lease payment of $350 on the land. So you're going to have a payment on your on your 80,000 minus 16,000 down. So what are you going to have, a $64,000 loan with the payment of whatever that is, plus you're going to have a $350 a month land lease payment, so you're never going to own your land underneath that.
Right. So basically my guess is this guy has developed mobile home parks in the past, and he's figured out a workaround where he can call it stick built, and he doesn't have to follow all the requirements for a mobile home park.
Very good. Yeah, that's exactly right. Hey, Matt, see if you can unmute.
I'm here.
Hey, Lisa, how are you, dear?
I'm good. How are you, Joe?
Good. I'm out in Sacramento. Boy, it's very hot here, but I'm out of here in about two and a half hours. I'm out of here going back east.
Okay.
So I'll have been here about 24 hours. So anyway, good meeting last night, though. Very
excellent.
Good group. So tell us what you've got there, Ms. Lise.
Well, what I've got is an opportunity to start writing notes on houses that are purchased. And the outline that was given to me is that the houses are $35,000, $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
They can be sold for $70,000, put on terms, 20 years. They said 9.5%. I looked at 10.5%.
Right.
But what I'm curious about, piece I think I'm missing here, is that obviously when I sell the note, we have to pay back the underlying debt of acquisition of the property, and that does leave a profit. Can I sell the whole note, or sell a majority of the note? And what do I want to say here now? Do that like $100-$200 model of putting
in your IRA.
And can I, but then can I take the cash that the note buyer brings and go pay the underlying off? Now what do I do with that profit piece?
Okay, so let me kind of talk this through here in my head so I get it. I'm kind of thick this morning, so you know, that's a light group here in Sacramento, man. I told people, I said, look, if we were on the East Coast and I was still talking at 9:30 at night, there wouldn't be anybody in the room. But man, we're in California and everybody's loving it. So anyway, so there you've got. Where are these houses located?
These houses are in, oh, what state did she say? Kansas.
Kansas. Okay, so so these are going to be brand new houses.
No. No,
okay.
These are houses that she has a line on to acquire at a modest cost.
Okay.
And she's got a lot of wannabe buyers that are happy to do owner finance.
Sure.
So she told me, you know, the basic cost for acquisition is $35,000,
okay.
And they take $2,000 to $5,000 to spiff them up and make sure all the systems are working, things like that. People will buy them all day long, owner occupants, for $70,000 with a 10% down payment.
Okay, so you've got about a $63,000 loan, right?
Right.
At 10.5%.
Yep.
And how many years were you say doing them on a 20-year AM?
20 years.
So a 20-year AM. And so their payment's going to be roughly $628 principal and interest. So again, now she knows she's going to have to do these. They're going to have to do them Safe Act compliant, right? So you
right, and she's got somebody lined up for that.
Okay, so are you talking about then buying a partial from her, or you're talking about buying the entire loan and then reselling enough of it so that you can do a $100, $200, $500 down deal in your IRA? Is that what you're talking about doing?
That's what I'm talking about doing. What I'm talking about doing is initially having someone put up the $35,000 or $40,000.
Okay.
When the note is then written and sold to someone else, we turn around and pay back the person that loaned the money to get the acquisition.
Right.
And so a profit falls out, but we've sold the note so someone can pick up all the payments.
Okay.
And then I want to not sell them the whole note and just hold $100, $200 back, whatever, to pick up the balance of that in my IRA.
Right.
And so what I'm asking is, when we come through and we pay back that person that put up the $35,000 or $40,000.
The underlying, yep.
Okay, the underlying, thank you. And you subtract that from the balance of the loan, you've got profit dollars in there.
Sure you do.
And so in order not to booger up doing the $100 or $200 model with my IRA, where does that profit money need to go? If it goes to me as regular cash,
right,
am I self-dealing in my IRA then? I know, such a problem to have to figure out where to put the profit, right?
So what would we have to do? So if we bought these at a 12%, what are you thinking? 12-13% return? What are you thinking there? If just off the top of your head.
If I what?
If we bought these at a 12% return, at a 12% yield, so we bought the entire note at a 12% return.
Go ahead, say that. Yeah.
That would be about $50,500. Let's just call it $50,000. So what that would do then, in this person that developed them, that would give. Well, you know what you could do is you could. I mean, that some of that could go back to the person that put all this together, because she's going to have to make some profit somewhere.
Well, actually, the way she wanted to make the profit, she just wanted to pocket the 10% down payment.
Right. Okay. Kevin, what do you think? Looking for some input here.
Yep. Lisa, my first question is, how many of these does she think she can bring to you? So that's my first question.
1 to 3 every month.
Okay. To your point about the self-dealing,
yes.
Again, this would be a matter of structuring the deal, because you can have multiple transactions,
mm-hmm,
without have it, you know, being a prohibited transaction or a UBIT issue, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
With this, your paper trail is going to be the most critical part of this, because the one thing that we need to better understand is, if you're going to try to do this in your IRA, who's going to be funding the initial transaction? And what I mean by that is, when I look at this, let's just call her name is Sandy. Sandy's bringing you up. She's bringing a house, and she needs $40,000 to fund the deal.
Right.
You put it under contract in your IRA, okay, self-directed IRA, and then you're going to go out and you're going to get the $39,900 to actually fund this deal. She's going to do the note. She takes the down payment off the note. Okay, and let's just assume it's $70,000. So she takes the $7,000. She's out. She's happy. You've got that note, and now you're going to go ahead and you're going to either do a whole note sale or you're going to partial it out, and you're going to have to pay back the initial $39,900. Correct?
Yeah.
Oh, the $40,000. Call it $40,000. Right.
Yeah.
Well, but if she keeps $100 in every deal.
Right, okay, gotcha. So, Lisa, I think what Kevin really is getting to there, and I think of that, and Jackie Lambertson just told her that she just typed in, so Jeff Watson told her not to broker from their IRA, so that's another thing we should probably talk about on a Monday call with Eddie, but yeah,
okay.
That's a good point. But anyway, so, I mean, if you bought them, I mean, so you just buy them if she's happy with her $7,000, then you're going to, you know, you're going to have a, You're actually, if you funded her at $39,900 or whatever it is, and you paid the underlying off, then you've got a $63,000 loan. Okay.
Right.
So whatever discount, you know, you sold it at, I mean, it we'd have to sit down and we would have to play with the numbers, and I'd be happy to kind of do that over the next few days, or, you know, bring this back on Monday after I've had a chance, or Kevin, you've had a chance to kind of think through it as well. You know, there would probably be, and I'm just thinking big picture here, you know, there's a lot of note school students that would love to do $100 or $200 or whatever it is down model in their IRA, and this could be a perfect opportunity to do something like that. So I'm just thinking big picture as far as people, you know, wanting to do that in their IRA. So
right. How about if I send you an email with all the details?
Okay.
And then if you want to put paper, you know, pencil to paper, okay, that would be great. And I'd love to discuss this more because there's multiple pieces of profit in here. And I just don't want to do prohibited transactions.
Exactly.
Well, right. And the other thing is, Lisa, you're going to want to take this and run it by your custodian. And remember, your custodian or your administrators are all going to give you the same disclaimer, which is they're not giving you legal advice, they're not giving you tax or accounting advice, blah, blah, blah. But because you're looking at adding potentially a debt component to this, we do have to look at UBIT. I'm not as focused on the prohibited transaction part. I'm more focused on the UBIT. And okay, then there's also one other potential tax component. So again, this is just, you know, this is just another great example of, by knowing how to paper it up correctly,
right,
you can go ahead and make money where other people can't make money. So this is fun.
Well, that's the whole key. That's the whole key to this, is to structure it and paper it correctly, mm-hmm, and then wash, rinse, and repeat.
Okay, so why don't we do this? And, of course, Ellen Katz said she would love to hear more about this topic as well. So, Lisa, you know what Eddie would love to see as far as some background on this,
right,
and how this could. So put this together.
Yep.
Send it to content, and Kevin Shortell will get it, I'll get it, Kevin Moore will get it, Matt will get it, and Eddie will get it, and the whole team will get it. And let's kind of noodle through this, and Matt, you can kind of, you know, when you kind of put some flavor to it as far as, you know, Eddie talking through this on a Monday, and let's see what you can come up with on that. But it could be an interesting, becomes a case study, or it becomes something that's real. I think it's something we should, you know, deserves more talk through.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. All right, Lisa. Well, I'm sorry I didn't see you this time, but I'll see you next time.
Well, you know, I spent most of last weekend with Eddie. So, you know, last Thursday and then Friday he came and did my meetup for me.
That's right. Yeah, he
did
say, yep, right, exactly.
Training class all day Saturday. And
right,
it has. And I saw Ryan on Tuesday, so I
right,
suppose I should have seen you yesterday just to make the week complete.
To make your week complete and save the
yep,
best last, right?
But Thomas had a concert last night, and he had a solo in the concert, so we went to that. Sorry,
and
Joe.
Good, very good. That's okay. Hey, some things are more important than others. Okay, and one set of combined. Okay, so Jackie, let's kind of talk through this. We'll kind of push that to a Monday call. I'm going to be running to the airport here in just a minute. Matt, you got a couple of things you want to say to wind it up?
Yes. So there is there's been a common kind of thread of things that are happening, and I just wanted to address it. The every week after a tape comes out, we update on the member site that tape of available assets. So the last time we updated it was the 16th. So what was that, Monday, I think. So and we'll probably update it again next Monday. So if you are looking through an asset and it has been a week since, so every Monday I would say check it. Check the website, make sure that the new updated spreadsheet's up there to check to make sure that an asset is still available if you're kind of in the middle of doing due diligence. That way you're not finalizing everything and then asking us, hey, is it available? We do update those so that you have the most up-to-date list available once a week. So a couple of people have asked if something is available. And if you were to download the tape that's on the member site that was updated Monday, both of those assets were taken off. So just kind of wanted to give everybody a secondary option as far as keeping up to date on the assets that are available.
Okay. And I think we also need to, I know most everybody that's on the call probably has signed up for Summer Summit, but if you haven't in the Dykes Botifer thing, if you haven't, you need to be doing that as well.
Absolutely. We're right at 2 weeks from today starting that class. So, or is it Wednesday? Yeah, and Thursday and Friday. No, yeah, so 2 weeks from today. The other thing is all of the hotel rooms have been booked up that we were given as our booking block, but we do have a secondary option. If you look in your handouts, there are some secondary options as far as hotel rooms that are available, their pricing, their contact information, and each one of those have a shuttle to the airline center. So if you were to go there, you're not going to have to worry about transportation back and forth. So that's the other thing to kind of keep in mind.
Okay, very good. So, Kevin, thanks for the help. Thanks for being on. Matt, thank you. Thank all of you for being here today. And get your stuff in for early for the Monday call, and we'll go from there. Everybody have a great weekend, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Joe. See you later. See you, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Shut your meeting off, Joe.
I'm doing it. I'm trying to throw my stuff in my suitcase. All right, I'll see you guys.
We can hear it.
Give me part, no, I'm kidding. Bye.
Bye.